Hey, About Last Night podcast fans, what up? Hey, can we talk for a second? Can we talk money? Let's talk money. Truth is, sometimes honest, hardworking folks need a little bit extra, okay? And some banks don't always make it fast or easy, but I'll tell you who does. Avant! Finally, there's a company who gets it. Avant, A-V-A-N-T. Guess what? They provide access to personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever stepping foot in a branch. All you got to do is simply go to avantoffer.com and check your competitive rate, okay? Checking your rate is risk-free. There's no risk. Is there a risk? No, man, it's risk-free with no effect on your FICO score, all right? Complete your application in minutes, and the funds could be in your account as soon as tomorrow. See how easy and convenient borrowing is through avantoffer.com. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. Who else does that? Nobody? That's right. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com and enter promo code LASTNIGHT. That's A-V-A-N-T offer.com, promo code LASTNIGHT. Avantoffer.com, promo code LASTNIGHT. Loans made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. That's right. Today's Thanksgiving. And I hope you're spending it somewhere surrounded by loved ones and great food. Or you know what? Even if you're by yourself, I hope you're doing something that makes you happy and enjoying the time off. It's kind of a collective day off for everybody. And hope you're relaxing, doing something you enjoy. You know, whether that be staying inside and watching Family Feud reruns, which, you know, is not a bad call at all because Steve Harvey is the man. Or maybe you're just trying to catch up on some Netflix shows or some work, or you're doing some writing, or you're reconnecting with old pen pals from childhood, or you're, you know, just standing in and jerking off for hours. Like whatever it is you're doing, I hope you're loving it, is my point. Today's episode is a bonus episode, and I couldn't be more pumped to be delivering it to you guys. Our buddy Andrew Santino is returning for his third appearance on the About Last Night podcast, Ronnie and the Quave himself. Andrew is, as you know, one of my best friends on planet Earth. We started stand-up together. We've done so many hilarious comedy sketches together, which I'm going to start posting more. But if you go through my YouTube channel and look for videos like Brett and Ty's Olympic video submission or Doritos Locos Tacos, Kid News, A Very Sloppy Christmas, Andrew and I have made a lot of funny videos together, and just he's just one of the funniest dudes on planet Earth. Makes me laugh so hard, and it's no surprise that he is becoming a comedy beast in the scene. And we get into a lot of fun stuff. The new Showtime show that he's on, executive produced by Jim Carrey, that stars Melissa Leo and Alfred Molina and Eric Griffin, and about comedians in the 70s. We get into that. We get into his debut stand-up album called Say No More, which comes out on iTunes and Comedy Central Records tomorrow. Go get it. He's been getting great reviews and write-ups on this album, and I've seen all the material, you know, worked out over the last, you know, handful of years, and it's a strong fucking comedy album. If, you know, just get it and trust me and listen to it, and then thank me later for getting on the Andrew Santino bandwagon. If you weren't already from this podcast, he crushes it on this podcast, and today's was, I didn't know how he could top Ronnie and the Quave, but today's was so much fun. Andrew's half-hour Comedy Central special airs Saturday, November 28th at 11:30, 12:30 Central on Comedy Central. So watch that. Check your local listings and check out his half-hour special. Get his album and just enjoy all the comedy of Andrew Santino. This episode was so fun to record. We appreciate you guys subscribing on iTunes, giving us those five-star ratings and comments on the iTunes page. Take 2 seconds, do it during the intro, knock it out, helps us climb the charts, and we appreciate the love. Follow Andrew on Twitter at Cheeto Santino. which he even explains where that name comes from on his album Say No More. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. I am in San Francisco, so I've got four more shows at the Punchline Comedy Club in San Francisco. Two more tomorrow and two Saturday. Get your tickets at punchlinecomedyclub.com and come out and see me. This is an amazing venue. I'm working on a bunch of new material, and let's party post-Thanksgiving. You got time? Everyone's got time. Come see me. Punchline, San Francisco. Two shows tomorrow, two shows Saturday. Brad Williams is at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California, tomorrow and Saturday. Two shows each night. Get your tickets at flapperscomedyclub.com and go see Brad Williams. And when you're coming to these shows, bring your merch, baby. We got ALN shirts and mugs, and hats are on the way. They've been designed. Should be getting them in the next week or two. Really pumped about that. Go to estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com, and get all your ALN merch. Bring it to the shows. We'll sign it for you, baby. We'll take pictures with you, baby, and support the pod that way. We can we love the emails and tweets you guys are hitting us up on at ALN Podcast on Twitter now for all updates, videos, and pictures. Our live podcast video will be up next week. We are pumped about that. And I think that's all the info. That's all the merch info. That's all the Twitter handles. Those are the tour dates. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special bonus Thanksgiving episode with our buddy, the one and only Andrew Santino.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Watch it.
Well,
and not.
I don't want to have like people over to watch it on Saturday and all that stuff. I know people.
But also,
that.
Do you want to maybe just let it like be out and have people flower you with compliments and then flower you, shower you with compliments?
Flower me, dude.
Flower you with compliments.
Where's my Roni? Is that my Roni shirt? I'm so fucking stoked that I finally got one.
Yeah, did you see that?
How massively popular has that phrase become?
Roni and the Quave?
It's so cool.
It's like all our.
Near?
Yeah.
We can tell people are fans by of the podcast when they tweet at us
Roni and the Quave.
And they'll reference other episodes and they'll be like, "Oh god, your interview with John Reninsky was so heartfelt and it was so great. Hashtag Roni and the Quave." Like, I literally got that tweet today.
So, my headphone fucked up. Check. Is that me? No, that's me. There we go. Perfect.
Roni
and the Quave.
Yeah, when you did your hour, I thought you were gonna say it.
When I,
you didn't say Roni and the Quave, you did the joke.
I was Roni so, sheets?
Yeah, but I was like, say Roni and the Quave, even though, like,
I feel
maybe
like it's so inside though.
So what?
Yeah, you're right.
It sounds funny.
Yeah,
the joke is funny. So if you just added,
yeah, I put the Roni and the Quave. Yeah,
yes, dude,
okay, you're right.
And then pause for a second and be like, Roni and the Quave kind of sounds like a morning show radio team. Hey, it's Roni and the Quave.
Yeah,
and I
should have used it.
I should. I will.
That's like a free friend joke.
I'll at least do it because it made us laugh so hard. So I need to see if
it
would translate.
I lost my shit. Okay.
So you just got in the mail your half hour.
Yeah, I'm holding it right now. This is it.
That you have not seen.
I have not seen it, no.
What is the feeling of just holding that disc?
It's
because let's
it's
be
super
honest,
creepy.
When you started stand-up, how many years ago?
I started stand-up, no sketch or anything like that, in 2007 or 8. It was kind of like a divide.
And this is 2023 when we're going to put this out.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah,
Scat-um.
Yeah. We're getting a really early. So
I sold my soul to Viacom.
No, but let's be honest. When we first start, also half hours in Comedy Central with stand-up was, I think, much more prominent when we all started.
Oh, dude, yeah. Nobody cares anymore. People
used
to
love it. Yeah, but we care.
I mean, we do.
Saying.
Yeah.
So you
it's like a feather in
now.
The hat.
Yeah, it's the same thing with doing a set on, like, let's say, The Tonight Show. It's not what it was when it was the Carson days, not even close, but it's still that thing that every comic wants to do just because it's fun to be like, yeah, because when people say, oh, you're a comedian, have you done anything?
I know.
When you say, oh, yeah, I've been on The Tonight Show, that's like something that marks you. So when you say, yeah, I had a half hour special on Comedy Central. That's like, oh, okay, so
true.
So you've done this.
It's like, it's on my bucket list to make love to Katy Perry. If it doesn't happen until I'm 90, I'm still going to be like,
Brad
well,
and
I did.
Both had sex with her already.
Did you really?
Yeah, you
kind of did.
Yeah,
can
know.
I be honest? I had a sex dream about her last night. I swear to God.
Well, let's hear it.
I straight up
haven't had a sex dream in, I can't, at least probably a year.
But wait,
it's
before,
been like forever.
Before
but
you
like,
go.
Actually, that's not true. Less than a year. But something where it was so real where I woke up.
Did you come?
No.
Have you ever come?
No, I was. It was all
have
me.
Have you ever come
it was
in your
all
dream?
Me taking care
oh,
of her.
In
man.
A dream?
Yeah, wet dream. Have you ever had? Have you like?
Yeah.
Honestly, come in a dream. You have?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, now,
but
when
wait,
I was
did
like,
you hear what I said? Yeah. I was taking care of her in the dream.
Oh, you were going down on her.
Oh,
dude! And at one point, she turned.
What a cool dream!
At one point,
what a
she,
selfless dream.
I took everything off, and I'm looking at it and I remember and then she just turns over and she goes, "I like to, I want you to go down on me from the back."
Oh, so your nose is in her butt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I remember turning her over in my dream going, this is the greatest dream of all time.
I think noses in the butt is one of the bits that Ronin the Quaid does.
Nose in the butt.
Who did you have a dream about going down on from the back tonight?
Katy Perry.
Where people call in with their dreams. Oh, hi, this is Raul from Sacramento.
Raul, you're on with Ronin the Quaid.
What's going on, Raul?
Where was your nose?
2 weeks ago, I was in Katy Kirk's butt.
Ooh, Katy Kirk.
Nice. Reporting the news solid. And giving you butt nose.
Was Al Roker in there describing the weather?
He was not, but it was just Katie and we were on a beach in Tahiti. And I started to take my pants off, and she said, no, you got to do me first. And then she was laying on her back, and then she flipped over and said, I like it this way. So anyway, first time caller, long time listener.
Thank you, Raul.
Thank you, Raul. That was hot.
That guy's hot, yeah.
Katie Kirk, you know what? Katie Kirk is one of those women where, like, she seems really reserved, but uh-huh. I bet you she's a freak in the bed.
Bam, 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 bam. We have to have all sorts of noises.
That's they would the have the most noises that
yeah,
I've
yeah,
ever
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
DJ Tan.
Roni and the quick.
Now, how crazy is that, though? Like, when's the last time you've, in your sex dream, dreamt about...
pleasing the woman.
Yeah. It was just so real. Let me reiterate that. It was so real.
It was Katy Perry.
Again, to where I woke... And you know, if
you
she ever does
upset.
Hear this,
yeah.
I want her to know that she looked beautiful.
Of course.
And it was a very tasteful, sensual... It was...
Your nose was tastefully in her butt.
You know what, Brad? That's my ex-girlfriend you're talking about. She'll break up with me.
Someday.
Yeah.
You can't wait till she breaks up with you.
No, if I actually do ever date her, I would be devastated if she broke up with me.
Yeah. Definitely.
I've heard she likes funny dudes. I feel right. like...
Well, she dated Russell Brand for a long time.
Yeah. Did she really?
Yeah.
Yeah, for like the longest time. He's funny.
He is funny.
But
super
he's like
smart.
Super smart funny,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
No, dude, you're a smart
I'm
guy.
Smart, yeah.
Yeah, you're a smart
but
guy.
Like,
you went to USC.
Yeah,
sure.
But that guy's got a, I mean, like, and I've got a
big
solid
dick.
Vocab, big dick. I was going to say big awareness of, like, of worldly issues.
I feel like it's the dick that matters more.
Right. Okay.
Probably.
Well, yeah. Then I'm fine. Guess what, man?
I know. I did notice. I picked up, Adam had big old 13s, big old stompers.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm 12, 12 and a half, all right, dude? So I'm like right
That's
there.
Solid.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Brad?
I don't need to brag, but I'm rocking a solid 4.
Yeah, but a 4 for you,
yeah, four for
is
you.
Like Shaq.
That's huge.
That's like a 16 for us.
I can fit like 3 of Mini-Me's feet into my shoe.
Yeah, dude. He has nothing on you.
He's got nothing.
He's got nothing
I
on
can
you.
Post on him.
Well, I've seen you.
Is there like midgetdick.com? Is there like a thing where we could rate like you, Dinklage, and...
For the sake of alliteration, dwarfdick.com was way funnier.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Dwarfdick.com for all your dwarf dick needs.
Dude, where they just put all of the most famous
dwarf dicks
up there for you to rate... And possibly bid on.
What a great app. That's an app.
Yeah.
Dwarf
right.
Dick? Dwarf Dick? I would think that'd be such a great thing to look at during the day.
Are you kidding me?
Well, because
it gives you the shoe size, it gives you all the stats. It's like a baseball card. Favorite team.
Dwarf baseball card. Wait, I mean, that would increase your stock a lot, though.
Bro. Absolutely.
If people got to see your hose.
Because it's a myth at this point.
If they got,
I know
they
what
got
it
the
looks
preview,
like.
People
sure.
know it's a big hose.
I mean,
people in the comedy community talk about about Brad's hose.
Yeah. I've heard the rumors, and mostly started by me.
Yeah, and comedy club,
whatever,
and
works.
Comedy club owners.
Yeah, and certain waitresses in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But you know, like
shout out to Charlene,
Charlene in Irving, Texas,
Roni and the Quave. Hey, Charlene, hey,
was Brad's?
Hey, Brad.
How big was Brad's dick? You be honest. He's
oh
listening
my God.
Right now.
Let
how
me
big
tell
was
you
Brad's
about Brad's dick.
Dick.
His dick was so big that when he fucked me, it came back out of my mouth. It went through my vagina and out my mouth.
Back out
Someone
your mouth.
Someone call the ambulance.
Well, here's the thing. I think there's a genuine curiosity with the dwarf ween.
Of course.
And there's everyone is kind of curious. I have friends that have come up to me and said, hey, I don't want this to sound gay or anything. And you know something gay
is going to get,
be gay. Is it go, I don't want this to sound gay or anything, but I'd really like to watch you fuck a girl.
Yeah. That's there's nothing gay about that.
There's nothing gay about
that. But have you let anybody in? Has anybody seen?
Accidentally.
Yeah, nobody on purpose, though. You've never let someone just stand and watch.
I've never sold tickets.
You should.
I should.
Two drink minimum?
Two drink minimum. Have a little grandstand.
That's so funny.
To
watch him fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sell tickets. Have a little booth set up out front of the Laugh Factory that sells tickets, kind of like that booth in Times Square that sells tickets to the Broadway shows.
Genius.
So there's like discount tickets
after
5 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh, at least 30.
Yeah, $30.
At least 30.
I was going to say double that at least.
No, but 30 bucks on the weekends, it's like 50 or 55.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Friday, Saturday nights is prime. But right. I mean, like a Wednesday night show, like the early show is.
A matinee?
Would you do a matinee? A dwarf fuck matinee.
Would you do it at the Magic Castle?
Oh. Of course I do it at the Magic Castle. I would have a bookcase spin and reveal me on a bed fucking a girl in the Magic Castle.
Well, the reveal is in the show.
I thought you were going to say you would just get on your boner and you would spin above the ground. It would be so funny to see.
Like if it's at the Magic Castle, there has to be some illusion involved.
Yes.
I would like a Harlem Globetrotter to spin me on my boner on his dick.
That would be so funny.
I would totally let a black
it's
man
like a
touch my
fan.
Dick if he was spinning. Yes,
you're out. If you're out there, Harlem Globetrotters, and you're listening, if you're interested, Rhodey and the Quave wants you to spin a midget on your dick.
Yeah, that would be the most insane N1 mixtape video ever.
Oh baby,
oh baby, oh the professor, he spun a midget on his dick. Oh baby, that announcer, I want him to follow me to do anything.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's
what
the
happened to
best.
Those guys? Are they still doing N1?
I don't know.
Man,
I
haven't heard about
him
in a while.
For people that don't know what N1 was, you have to explain
street
that because some people aren't aware.
Yeah.
It was a semi-professional street ball league where these guys were essentially Harlem Globetrotters on steroids.
Yeah.
Like they could do the craziest shit.
Yeah, right.
And also were really good at basketball.
Some went pro. Yeah. Well, they were all dope basketball players, like guys that could have played probably.
I think they all played college.
Yeah,
I think if not all of them played college.
Yeah,
well, and then, dude, a few of them went to slam ball. Do you remember slam ball?
Slam ball was with
trampoline ball.
Yes,
trampolines.
Dude. It's still happening.
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest is one of the greatest games because when I was in sixth grade, my buddy had a trampoline and put it under his 10-foot hoop.
Yep.
And we were all at the exact height. And the trampoline still felt big to us. We would play full games.
Oh, yeah.
2-on-2 on this trampoline.
Oh, yeah.
And jump and dunk. And it was like, there was a lot of skill involved because to time a jump was, you still had to play D.
Yes.
You
couldn't
just bounce once and dunk. You
right.
had to like move and get spacing and your buddy would try to time a bounce for you.
Yep.
And when
the
you
double
did,
bounce.
When
the
you
double
did bounce. Bounce from like the head of the trampoline all the way to the hoop from that was mind-blowing.
King of the neighborhood, man.
And then like his brother who was like 6'5" would come play and bounce us off the trampoline.
Yeah, that's not fun.
And people would break bones. But
up until then, it was totally chill.
It was dope. Slam ball.
Slam ball was incredible.
Yeah.
The guy, that Yahoo show I did, Sin City Saints, the guy that was one of the producers who did a bunch of 30 for 30s, he's one of the creators
no
of that.
Oh shit.
Yeah, do they still do it in like.
Can they do a 30 for 30 on slam ball?
I think that's been brought up before. His name's Mike Tolan. He's a good dude, good producer. But Tolan was one of the guys that like kind of had the original ideas for it. And then now they still do it in, I want to say Asia, parts of Asia, they're on tour, but I don't think it caught fire here.
Fuck.
It's so hard here, dude. American sports are so dominant. Whenever a new sport comes, people are like, nah, we're good.
Yeah,
we've already got them.
Yeah.
Even soccer couldn't crack us. That's incredible. The most powerful sport in the world comes here,
though,
and we're
it?
Like, no, dude, we keep saying that.
Well, like,
we keep going, it's coming, man.
They
got David fucking Beckham.
Right. You're right. You're
to
right.
come here, and we were still like, okay.
Yeah, but
cool,
or,
neat.
Or I can go down the street to the Staples Center and see Kobe.
Yeah. There's no competition there.
You're right, man. And that's why they brought him to the States, right? To the
Galaxy.
Yeah,
they wanted ticket sales.
To try to globalize it.
Yes,
right?
They wanted to make
or
it.
Or get America involved.
Yes. Yeah. But all the Europeans made fun of us because by that time they were like, you can have Beckham.
It was like when Patrick Ewing was on the Sonics.
Didn't care. Exactly.
Yeah.
No one cared anymore.
You remember that?
Yes.
No one gave
nobody
shit.
Cared anymore.
Yeah.
No, that wave had come and gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as a guy, like, I went to Brazil for the last World Cup. And
so incredible.
I saw games. To see that level of soccer and then go to see the LA Galaxy play.
Different.
It's minor league.
Yeah, it is.
It's so
well, you know what else it is, though? And you know, because you've seen, have you seen European soccer games in Europe?
It's, yes. It's
so,
religion.
So it, yeah, it is the vibe that it makes it so much better too.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is fucking incredible. Yeah. We don't have any sports like that where there's chants the whole time.
Oh, right.
And it's like you're in unison with like 150,000 people. It's the craziest
going ape
feeling.
Shit the whole time, not on their phones.
The whole time. Ape shit the whole time.
Right.
Some people are so dedicated to it, like they would leave their wives and kids to like follow these people on tour. That's how much they love footy. They love it, dude.
Yeah. I went to the World Baseball Classic Championship. Mm-hmm.
I was there the same game. Yeah.
Japan versus Korea. The best. I feel like I was transformed.
Ported.
Yeah. I was transformed personally and emotionally into a bigger baseball fan.
Yes.
Because I'm watching Ichiro. It was Ichiro was about 6 years into being a Mariner, so still very dominant.
Yeah.
But same thing.
So good.
Chance nonstop. My buddies and I were like, and every pitch mattered. A was the championship of the World Baseball Classic, so you
still
can't get more important than that.
Right.
But every moment, and then we are hearing from other people who are like, oh yeah, this is every game for Japan and Korea. Like, it's this bonkers.
So cool.
Like, there was these chants that were just like, and all these horns, and they were shaking these weird fucking bat umbrellas.
Yeah, the little thunder sticks. Where you're clapping
together. They started
together.
Yeah, that came here, and we were all like, the towels and the thunder sticks. Dude, they've been doing that stuff over there for so long. We're way behind. Someone told me today, this is how behind we are. Someone told me today that they are going to be doing stand-up tours of the dead. They're doing hologram stand-up tours. Andy Kaufman was one of the ones on the list to be doing hologram stand-up tours. And I was like, that's insane. And I can't remember who told me today, but they were like, yeah, like, you know how they did Tupac at Coachella or whatever?
And everyone flipped the fuck
Japan out. And like Korea have been doing this forever. Like,
there's
we're
a pop
way
star.
Behind.
There's a pop star in Japan who is
just
a
hologram.
Wait, yeah. So they saw the hologram videos that we posted and were like, that's like
lol.
So that
they laughed in our face. They were like,
that's
what?
Like when an island like off the coast of the South Pacific gets like fucking the movie you know,
Heat.
Shanghai Noon.
Right. Awesome.
Like now. And
right.
They're like, we just got it. And we're like, fucking, we saw that shit 9 years ago.
Been there.
Yeah.
But dude, they've been doing these hologram tours and apparently they're going to do a bunch of passed away stand-up comedians.
Would you go see
I'd go see
Richard Pryor
hologram.
1,000%,
dude. I'd pay so much money. You know who I would go? You know who I go see?
Oh my god! Because I bet they're top quality. I bet they're
Well, dude, if it's the technology that they're using over there, apparently it's fucking amazing. I would love to see Hedberg again.
Oh yeah,
again.
I saw him before he died.
Where? Chicago?
I saw him at the Tempe Improv almost a month before he died. Like, it was right around the corner.
Was he not
good? It was terrible, dude. It was awful to watch. Like, a stand-up hero of mine.
Yeah, it was.
It was depressing. I was, like, seeing a girl that worked at the Tempe Improv because I was going to school at Arizona State, and so I would just sneak in the back. She would, like, let me just sit and watch comics all the time.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Was that a... that could have crushed your comedy passion.
No, dude, because I kind of... At that time, the rumors had kind of gotten around because I had paid attention to the comedy community, although not being a part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I had known that he was having a lot of trouble, like, with drugs and stuff like
that. So you didn't let that phase your
opinion. No, like, whatever. I still was a massive fan, but, like, watching him was so sad. I paid a bunch of money for his tickets. A lot of people, I stole tickets because I was like, I want to be a comedian. I just want to go learn.
Yeah. But then for him, you're like,
I
want to support.
Yeah, I paid a bunch of money. I bought like the premium tickets because I was so amped to go watch.
So you'd want to see him in his glory days, hologram
and it was,
right.
Yeah, dude. Because watching him at the end was bad.
Sam Kinison.
Yeah, Kinison would be fun. I would actually love to see Andy Kaufman do Tony Clifton instead of Bob Zemuda. I would have loved to see that, the original intonation of it.
Yeah.
Even though Zemuda does a great job of it, I would love to see Andy do it. I want to see him do that. I'd want to see, Pryor. Shit, I want to see Robin Williams again. That would be fucking great.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
Now, I'd want to see, like, Brad when he was, like, really good. You know, like, his first 2 years. Like, first 2 years of his
life. Well, they're not doing people that are still alive, dude. Yeah, they're
not with that attitude.
Well, you're right. And you know what? We can always take care of that tonight.
Wait, what? Yeah. Hey, today on Ronnie and the Quave, we kill a midget live on air. We want to know what happens when you kill a midget. Does hot cocoa come out of their veins?
That pool is 10 feet deep, and they said I can't have pool toys in the pool. They said nothing about dead dwarves.
Adam, I noticed you left one of your dead dwarves in the pool yesterday. I'll get it out, Marie. Just relax.
Get it out. Calm down.
He's still in there floating around. Also, he's got a big dick, I noticed. Why did you get him
still
naked?
Still rock hard, even though he's passed away.
I noticed it because I saw his his penis from dwarfdick.com. I saw that. My husband's got the app.
So many free ads. My husband's got the app. It's always the dudes. The dudes got. And guess what? The guys, you would see a commercial in any given game. You would see FanDuel, Budweiser, and Dwarfdick. In the same.
That's the exact same ad campaign. Right. Yeah. By the way, FanDuel would probably buy dwarfdick.com. Such good rights.
Sure.
I mean,
great
absolutely.
Licensing deal, man. Do you like sports betting and dwarf penises?
Get the combo.
They are kind of the same. You just love to have fun.
Yeah. Listen, you're not a serious gambler or a serious porn watcher. Mm-hmm. You just want to dabble.
At the end of it, it's just four dudes on a couch, and it's like, we're dudes, and we like stupid shit.
here would be a good game. You have a camera set on four guys, and you watch their reactions. And you have to guess, are they watching sports or midget porn?
Oh, that's so good. You would never know. That's the FanDuel ad.
Yeah.
What are these guys watching? And it's just their faces and we're the screen.
Right.
You would never know the difference.
Yeah.
It'd be the same. Like, you'd be the same phrasing, too. How did he do that?
Wow. You never see that. You never see that.
Dude, they're putting
Rewind it. Rewind it.
Dude, they're putting in Marshall.
That would be a good game.
Dude, we're pumping out so much great stuff
I'm
on this podcast.
Pitching that show to the Game Show Network today. It's going to follow Ben Glebe on Idiot Test. It's going to be awesome.
Coming up next after Idiot Test, please stick around. One of my good buddies, Brad Williams, is going to be showing his penis. Everybody knows this. Massive. I'm Ben Glebe for Idiot Test. Check it out.
That's so good. That is a perfect Ben Glebe.
Oh, dude, he makes me laugh every time I see him because I'm flipping through. Our buddy Ben Glebe is on a show called Idiot Test on GSN.
Yeah.
Every time I pass a commercial for it, I have to say whatever he says back to him on TV. I just in my place alone. He's like, coming up next week, see how crazy these idiots get on Idiot Test. Yeah. And I have to say it right after he says it.
I was the exact same way when I would watch Tony Danza's Teach on A&E.
Oh.
And he would be in the classroom and then the principal's like, Tony, the thing is, he would be trying to get some kid to read their personal stories that they had written in front of the whole class. And these kids didn't want to do it. And he's like, Marissa, why don't you read your personal story? And I'd be saying, Marissa, why don't you read your personal story? You know? And then she's like, Mr. Danza, I don't want to read. He's like, you got to read it. And then she's like, I'm supposed to take my special test in the resource room. He's like, what are you, different than the rest of us? And somebody goes, Mr. Danza, she is. She's supposed to take the test in a separate room. He's like, well, if we treat you like an idiot, you're going to think you're an idiot. And then it cuts to Tony in a talking head. He goes, I'm having a tough day. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm just saying this all back to myself.
Why have you not started Kickstarter to bring that show back?
It was the greatest comedy that was not a comedy on television.
He's so fantastic, Tony.
He was. Do you know what his reason going back to doing that show?
Huh.
I was a terrible student. Hi, I'm Tony Danza, and I'm going back to an inner city school in Philadelphia to be an English teacher. I was a terrible kid growing up, so now I'm going to go back and see if I can help these kids. Okay, well, that makes no sense.
No sense whatsoever. Yeah,
you were a bad student. So what makes you think you're now qualified?
Let's see if I can make more bad students.
Dude, he'd be in the middle of the football field, and he'd be like, at the football team's warming up, doing their like stretches and you know, like the long lunge stretch they do. And he's like, hey, and then he starts going like, he's like, hey, and then he starts doing a little dance. He goes, it's like we're doing the Music Man out here. And then it cuts to one of the kids, and he goes, man, that Mr. Danger like came on the practice field, started talking about musicals and shit.
I'm so disappointed. Yeah. I used to really like him, man, but I don't know about Tony Danza. Yeah.
Man, so then you could have someone watching your comedy special on on Comedy Central and then imitating you. That could happen very soon.
Yeah.
And they'll sound like this. Stupid joke. That would be it.
Has anybody done an impression of you to you?
No, I don't think so. I'm such a weird, I have such a weird, I don't know. I don't think I think it'd be hard. Hey, if one of your fans can do it, send an audio clip to tweet one of us. I would love to hear. That would be huge.
Challenge. Do you think that would be
be flattered.
I was going to say, to see yourself like on SNL, I guess being parodied on SNL, right? Impersonated on SNL
that's like the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our buddy Rudnitsky, who's on SNL, just called me today and we were chatting about McConaughey because he does like a really good McConaughey.
I was texting him before, I go, please tell me you
do it.
Right?
He said no. He's like,
it was this past week.
Yeah, but McConaughey specifically said no impressions of,
what
of me.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, dude, have some fun.
Dude.
It's SNL.
Have some fun, man.
Trump, do you know how
Trump
big...
had two Trumps
at one time.
Him.
I know.
Do you know how big that Jim Carrey video
it was hilarious. He didn't like
was?
It. You know about this?
I know.
McConaughey said he didn't like it at all.
What?
Yeah, he didn't approve of it or
if
didn't enjoy it.
You're going to stand up during the Oscars and say how your hero is yourself in 10 years.
Come on, buddy.
Dude, then you better sit in a room. You better let the SNL writers write a sketch where you are sitting in a room talking in the mirror looking at five other McConaugheys
of course.
Writing right. that speech.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard that would have crushed?
Yeah.
Because, A, you're calling attention to the fact that that was a ridiculous speech.
It's just insane.
And then parody those damn commercials.
You just have
They're parodies of themselves.
Listen, when you get so famous,
you
the
lose.
Coolest yeah. people that I see that are that famous have self-awareness and make fun of themselves.
No, yeah,
that's the coolest people.
I think he's so famous, he's bought into... I mean, maybe he's... I'm sure he's a nice guy, but like... I mean, he said, you know, he started the episode by telling a story, his monologue. It was just telling the story of how he got, all right, all right, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, okay, like fucking post that on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew McConaughey is feeling nostalgic and then fucking post
right.
that story. Yeah. But it was like not funny. And it was just like, and people were going to, and then he was like, and that's where I can't, you know, and then he started by being like saying something. And then he goes like, okay, okay, okay. He goes, you guys thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Well, let me tell you the story of where that, what you thought I was going to say really came from. And I was like,
it's like a PBS special.
Yeah. Change the channel.
Yeah, and I was like, oh great. He's going to tell like a fake story.
Yes.
That's going to yeah. be peppered with jokes.
Insert
yeah, with comedy all the whole time.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. Lacked
no,
it.
Didn't
but,
that.
But that episode was saved pretty heavily by Adele crushing it to a million
wow.
people.
Wow.
Yeah. So
can we
cool.
just talk about the impact of that song? Have you, think about another time in our lives where there was a song so universally accepted?
Obviously, the graduation song by Vitamin C.
Yes.
That's so true.
Yes.
Wait,
when
you said
we
that?
Go back, we remember
also
all the times we spent together.
Come on,
also,
Adam. What the fuck are you doing? Don't kill our vibe. No, you missed the boat.
As our lives change, Adam.
Adam,
as our lives change.
I'm sorry. I was thinking
I
of other...
I gotta tell you something, buddy. You're gonna find yourself in a pool with a dead dwarf in about an hour and a half. I'm sorry, Brad. We still have to kill you. We stick it to the old story.
I was thinking of...
Hey, what?
I was thinking of other impactful songs that made a dent in our pop culture society, mm-hmm. like
Go
Snow
ahead.
By Informer.
Informer. You know, so get better, get better, get better, get in. I lick you, boom, boom, down.
The only part that matters.
That's the only part we know.
Boom, boom, down.
Dude, I lick your boom, boom, down is the only part that matters.
Dude, that's
right.
what I was singing
they
in my dream
that.
To Katy Perry.
That song shouldn't have been called
doing.
Informer. It should have been called I Lick You, Boom, Boom, Down. Snow, I Lick You, Boom, Boom, Down.
They played that on the radio.
Yes, I know.
And
because the executives were like, I don't understand a word he's
right.
saying, but it's catchy as fuck.
Yeah.
That's how they threw it out.
Yes. Yeah. And then everyone's like, okay, you know he's saying he's licking ass up and down,
I lick
right?
your boom, boom, down.
Maybe it was I Lick Your Boom, Boom, Now. And it was
I think
like
it was
a,
down. Isn't it down? It sounds like... I like you, boom, boom, down. You know, say goodbye again.
Was it a Korean man that time?
I Ricky, you boom, boom. Oh, come on, Adam. You led me right to that. I had to drink that
dude,
water.
It,
racist
it
comedy
sounds,
water.
It sounds like when he's doing the verses that it's like Popeye doing the verses.
Like, yeah. Hey, it's going to be
so good.
Hey,
speaking of Popeye, I just joined the gym around the corner.
Yeah.
I told Adam,
yeah.
there's so many dudes there with like mega buff arms and like skinny legs. You know that whole like mm-hmm. dudes that are like
are you
all
turn into one of those guys.
Dude, damn real.
They missed leg day.
No leg day, bro.
No
I go.
Day.
I go to gyms to just stay healthy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. but guys that go like. To get yoked.
Spend 3 hours there?
Yeah, it's like, come on, brother. Don't
I'm spending 3 hours at the gym is because I'm involved in a game that went at least an hour and a half.
Yeah, and it's a sport.
Like, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Yeah,
you're having fun.
But like I read this article someone sent that was like, because I do this joke about The Rock. You guys know, you've heard
yeah.
that joke. But like it said The Rock is going through like severe depression right now.
Oh, shit.
And it bummed me out to like read it. But then there's a part of me that goes, yeah, man, the guy that spends 17 hours on his body you're telling mm-hmm. me he's got a tough time with his brain? Yeah, probably.
Because yeah.
he's not taking any other time
right.
to get any sort of emotional workout in.
No.
When you're just focusing on your body I'm sure there's a lot of hollowness in your brain. That's
that,
like
that, and like Mike Wilbon from ESPN has this great quote where he says, "Father Time has an undefeated record."
Yeah,
if you're,
it's gonna win.
If you're jacked, that's gonna go away. Yep. It's like hot girls that had everything given to them, and then they turn 35, 40, and they're not hot anymore. And they're like, wait, what?
What happened?
What happened?
Where is it?
How come I'm not getting any free drinks anymore?
It's so true. It's like the story of Vegas. My buddy lived in Vegas for a long time. He was doing a gig out there, and he was like, dude, you know what the saddest thing is? Like the 22-year-olds at the pool at like the Palm or whatever, next year they're too old. Like the next year they get bumped out by a whole new crop of 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like 23, 24 is when they're like, all right, you got to go. That's when they hit their limit because it's like there's a new batch, dude. There's a new batch.
They keep making them.
That's why Hollywood is so funny to me, because it's like whatever the hottest chicks are around and whoever thinks like they're the hottest chicks in Hollywood, it's like, nah, give it a couple months. There's going to be some new batch of beautiful girls that come rolling through.
Yeah.
Good for them, dude. We'll be ugly forever. But
I'd rather be ugly forever, because you don't have that peak. You don't You don't know what it's like.
Yeah, you're not going to slide down the hill.
Right.
I'm already pretty on stable ground right now.
So what is this gym? Are there a lot of machines? Like the dudes that are big, are they like huge? Like,
they're massive,
dude.
Yeah. It's got to be steroids. I mean,
have you engaged in dialogue with any of these guys?
You know, dude, I don't. The reason I resisted going to this gym was because I don't want to talk to people.
Gym small talk. I'm not a fan of it.
Dude, I just want to do the workout. You. Yeah. If I know you, I say, what's up?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, I ran into a comedian there. He's a nice guy and everything, and a good dude, and it's good to see him, but I also just want to work out and not chat, and, like, I just don't feel like hanging out.
And what do you say, like, when you're, like, because you're grunting at the same time that you're having
a
conversation?
It feels weird. Yeah. Sweating and panting, and then being like, so what's up with you, man? You just feel like such a loser.
I love seeing guys hit on girls at the gym, because there's no good way to go about doing it. Because I heard this one
It's a lose-lose.
Yeah. I heard this guy walk up behind a girl. She was finishing her set, and he goes, Chrissy. He goes, what's going on? He goes, what are you doing here? And she literally goes, fucking working out.
Kudos to her.
Yeah, and I was like, job.
Awesome. Yeah.
What are you doing at the gym?
And then he turned.
What do you think I'm doing?
What are you doing at the Subway sandwich shop?
Instead of laughing at it, he just goes. He tried to backtrack, and he goes, no, I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, what?
Here comes a train wreck.
What are you working on? Yeah.
What are you trying to get thinner? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's all good. It's all fine.
It's great.
Yeah.
How's your sister?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, she's not here, is she? Yeah, she doesn't work out. That's right. You saying she's fat? No, I'm just saying.
No,
tumbling down the hill, just collecting more shit.
It's the
funniest thing was they showed me, the guy was like, do you want to take a tour? I'm like, nah, man, I'm sure it's a gym. Like,
of the gym?
Yeah, and he's like, well, because they try to pitch you and sell you. And I'm like, listen, dude, I just am coming to work out. I don't want to take any classes. I don't want to meet anybody. I just want to do my thing and go home.
You can tell who walks in and needs a tour.
Yes, it's pretty apparent. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Someone who's never been to a gym before.
Yeah, it's pretty apparent who the guy that's like, well, I'd love to look around.
Yeah.
If you're going to a gym.
Do you guys have a foam pit?
Where's the water? is there a water fountain / Diet Dr. Pepper machine anywhere?
No. Why do you think we would have a DP machine here, man?
Well, my friend Raul told me that.
No, God damn it.
A DP machine. But see, that's why you need a tour.
That's why you need a tour, just
explained.
In case. But he was like, hey, you want to go check out the bathrooms? And I was like, no, that's okay. And he's like, but they have a full sauna and showers and all this stuff. And I was like, hey, man, I don't shower at the gym. There's no way I shower at the gym. When I see people freely showering at the gym walking around, it just makes me so gross.
Dude, I will never get comfortable. And guess what? I'm comfortable with the human body, okay?
Sure.
When I see naked anything, I don't freak out.
No.
That was my high school yearbook quote. I said,
I don't freak out when I see naked dicks.
No, but
clothed dicks.
I don't want to. But if I today even, I walked into, I was at Whole Foods and I opened the bathroom door and the guy didn't lock it. And I posted this today. He was turned around peeing, standing up. Instead of just shouting, hearing the door open and going and continuing to pee and facing forward away from me, and saying, oh, hey, I didn't lock the door. I'm peeing in here. He turns around, shows me his dick, keeps peeing, and goes, I didn't lock the door, man. And I go,
shit.
As I backtrack, I go, just fucking keep peeing and say it, man.
I didn't lock the door, man. He's just naming things that are really apparent. I'm inside while you're peeing.
But the point is like, you know, whatever. I saw a little dick on my way to get some salad. Did it bug
me? Whoa, little dick?
Well, he didn't see mine.
He was...
Wait a minute.
It was
the guy's a little penis?
I mean, if I had to size it up real quick.
You judged, dude. You judged.
Hey, he was peeing. It's not like maybe
you
he
don't
was.
Know this guy, man.
Listen,
just say it.
I'm not judging you for judging.
No, because it's cool.
Let me just say though, when I go to this gym in Edmonds, Washington, when I go back home to Seattle,
shout out to Edmonds. Whoop, whoop.
Shout out to Edmonds. it's a gym in. It's a lot of older people go to it. So when you and a lot of young high school kids play hoops there,
right?
And,
fighting porcupines.
And then a lot of older retired people. <I don't know. laughs> Yep, a lot of older. By the way, you just gave me an image of wanting to see you actually fight a group of porcupines.
I mean,
and considering your haircut, that's pretty fucking
that incredible. Could be your next dream when you're not going down on Katy Perry.
That could be in the background. You could be going down on Katy Perry, and just above the bed is Brad just beating the shit out of porcupines.
Actually, I want Brad to voice a gang of porcupines in the next Pixar movie.
Oh my god, can we call Pixar right now?
Okay.
No. I'm talking like you're gruff. You're like Yosemite Sam voice meets like
so like porcupine coming up like this. Like,
yeah.
Hey man,
yeah, that's
you're my part of the desert, bro.
Yeah, dude, that's
yeah, because they're angry.
Yeah.
Now do the porcupine that's scared of everybody.
Hey guys, porcupines. Listen, we don't want any trouble. We just kind of like you're here. We
and
here,
now
we
do
gotta,
the
like, coexist.
Now do the one that's dying. There's one that got hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Whoa,
I got stabbed by a quail.
Now do the one that's having a dream about going down on Katy Perry from the back.
Baby, I'm a fire.
Not bad.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you didn't sing into her, did you?
This has been Brad's vocal reel.
You get hired off? This would be huge. Someone's like, Brad, I heard you on About Last Night. I got to tell you. You have the job.
So I go to this gym, and there's a lot of old men who work out there, and they very freely, they love the shower there.
Yeah,
old men
the
love the shower, because also they're just like, I'm going to stay at this gym as long as possible. It's a whole process for me.
Yeah.
I'm doing my machine, I'm going to do a couple weights, I'm going to shower, but you know, even going to the shower is a good 30, 40 minute chunk of this
absolutely.
Workout. It's a part of the workout, because guess what? I'm taking my time changing, I'm finding a locker I like, I'm chumming it up with the fucking guys that I don't see.
Mark. Mark.
Yeah. Which, but no problem chumming it up with fucking ass, with saggy man butts exposed and dicks and balls just flopping around.
Yep.
And I'm never going to get used to that or I never walk in and go, yeah. It's always, I walk in and I go, in my head, I go, God damn it.
Damn
and
it.
And I fucking go, and I beeline to the bathroom and it's so apparent and obvious that I'm not comfortable with it because I put my head down and fucking like beeline through this fucking, it's almost like, you know, like in those, when they announce the starting lineups for a basketball game and you put your hands through and you high five.
The tunnel.
And you high five. Like,
please don't put your hands down because that's not going to be hands you're touching.
I walk through that tunnel of old man dick and butts and I walk through it but with my head down and my arms tucked in.
Yeah, you don't want to touch anyone.
No.
But it's impossible. It's inherently impossible to not look at a penis when it's in front of you.
Yeah.
When there's a guy naked in the locker room, you're going to see a penis. It's not. It's impossible to not see it.
No. So.
But that's not why I don't like the showers.
No.
I don't like how gross the idea of sharing all that space with wet, dirty. It grosses me out.
You like getting in a shower and know it was there before. You were.
I shower at my place and that's it. Hotels and my place.
Yeah, I did that
in college. If you asked me to shower here at your place and you were like, I need to shower before I go, I'd be like, I'll just skip it. I just don't want to shower at other people's places. Mm-hmm. There's something about it.
Okay. Even though I got a couple new shampoos.
Oh, what do you got?
Well, fucking, you got to be on board with the shower activity first before you can see what's stocked up.
That's how he gets you.
That's how he gets guys to shower here. It's fine if you don't want to shower here. Adam, what do you mean? We just like took a walk and got lunch. Dude, some of us get sweaty at lunch. So are you willing to shower here or not? I got some new L'Oreal in there.
What about shittings at somewhere that's not your home place?
I fight it as much as I can.
Yeah.
But, dude, there's
sometimes
days
you
when you're
to.
Like, I don't have a choice. In fact, I love finding really high-end places to poop at because you know they're clean. Some places, some like fancy restaurants are so...
I was just going to say, so...
So nice. They're so accommodating that the door goes all the way to the floor. You know, the door to... I love floor to door.
And the toilet, like the flush is like, doesn't make a sound except for like the... Yeah.
That's it.
And then maybe at the end being like, thank you for your shit.
And it tells you, thank you for your shit.
Have you guys ever...
at the O'Hare Airport, when I fly home to Chicago, I usually have to poop when I get off a plane.
They have the covers.
Rotate. You wave your hand, it's like,
and
puts
a
new cover down.
Brand new cover.
Okay, can every airport...
Every place in the world should have that.
Right.
It's a brand new cover comes for you. You don't have to touch it. You don't have to do the one where you rip it and
no,
you know, like,
and
it
now
falls
you're trying
in.
To place it. You're trying to like, and then you get up and it's still stuck to your ass.
Oh,
that doesn't happen.
Nope. It's just
rotates.
It's just a plastic sheet that rotates.
Now,
How much would like a buzzkill would it be if you just found out it's
the
just
same
like
sheet
3 feet?
Yeah, it is. I know it is in my head, but psychologically it just helps.
Yeah, it just helps to see like the brand new sheet. Now, what I'm gonna say is like, have you guys ever taken a shit at a comedy club where they don't have the bathroom green room?
Oh, dude, yeah, and you have to poop in the public rooms?
Yes,
yes.
And then you walk out, and your audience is like, hey, you're the guy we're here to see tonight.
Yeah, were you shitting? What were you doing there? Were you shitting? Like, comedy clubs that don't have accommodating green rooms is so frustrating. It just means you're less than anything to them. You're like, yeah, the idiot's coming in. He'll be gone soon. Like, just give me a room.
He'll be in the closet.
Don't
yeah.
I have a room to hang out in? Yeah, you didn't build one room?
There was a room I did in Arizona. I don't do it anymore. It was small, and I'm sure we've all done it at some point, where there's no green room. It's just a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, I know.
I know the room.
Now, do you
build a room, Howard?
Sorry. No, no.
Was I calling him out there?
No, not that one.
Oh, not. Oh,
well, that
not
is
that
one. Yeah. There's one there now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a smaller room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just annoying because you would never go to a concert. I would never go to a concert and all of a sudden John Mayer is like taking
hanging
a shit,
out. Yeah,
like,
hanging out
in the bathroom. You're like, oh, I'm about to see you play Your Body is a Wonderland, and now I'm seeing way too much of your body. That's
so
not good.
Sorry.
although to be fair, we're not John Mayer.
What can we?
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
What can we? What can people expect on your? So, Say No More. Your
Say
album.
No More is the album, and the Half Hour comes out on the same time on the 27th, which is this Saturday.
This okay. So this.
I think Kevin Hart is before me. I think it's his special, then maybe Tone, and then me.
So this is out Thursday, so people will be hearing.
No,
this
no, Saturday, Thursday. Saturday.
No, this podcast.
Oh yes, this is out Thursday.
This will be out Thursday, the 25th.
So watch this weekend.
So your. On Thanksgiving, this is going to come out.
Okay, great. So then watch me this weekend on Saturday, the 27th, and then you can pre-order the album now, or you can buy it on the day it comes out. And if you have Apple, Apple Music, you can just stream it for free.
Well, nice. No, wait. So no,
I think.
The name of the CD is Say No More.
Yeah, Say No More is the album.
Yeah, and that's out the 27th.
Same day.
As special airing.
They drop it the exact
same time. How much material, an hour on the album? Half hour.
I would say, the album is an hour and 10 or something like that, maybe more.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But that's about 30%, 20% from the special.
Oh, man. Gotcha.
And the rest is all just whatever.
So just fucking lock yourself. Dude, I mean, what a perfect, the timing to me is beautiful because it's like weekend on
Thanksgiving
people
weekend.
People are going to stay in to do shit, you know?
That's why I think that was why they were like, let's just try it.
For Andrew Santino comedy fans, you can't have a better fucking weekend.
And if you're not a fan, maybe you can become one. Here, let me see. The album, I was trying to find out how many songs are even on this. I don't even know. Or songs.
Tracks.
I do songs now.
Drop your tracks.
I'm dropping a bunch of tracks on there. No, but it does.
So Say No More becomes available on iTunes and Comedy Central Records on
the 27th.
And the special just titled Andrew Santino.
The half hour.
Which, if for any reason you're listening to this after that, you could probably look it up in the app, right?
Yeah, you can on ComedyCentral.com. Yeah. ComedyCentral.com and Comedy Central, the app on your phone, both have them available when it's up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got, look at this. I have 23 tracks of Party Time. And they're called all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, give me some of the track names just to tease
Cheeto Santino, All the Birds, Spank the Kids, Front Butt, The Kids Are Fat, Tape the Birth, Cassette Tapes, Cavemen, Hair Palace, The Rock, Obama, Interracial Dating, Traffic Laws, Bacteria Rag, Hot Wall Air, No Stalls, Sleep Naked, Loonies and Toonies, Gag It.
This sounds like the best reference of like sexual positions I've ever seen. Like, hey man, this girl came over, I gave her the Cheeto Santino. Oh!
It's true. I did give her the Cheeto, and she was like, boo, it's all crinkly and dried up.
Just like you never want a crinkly dick.
That's what a Cheeto is, dude. If your penis looked like a Cheeto, you're in some deep shit. Crinkly, dry, orange, flaky.
Cracks.
Which is why that's how I got the name.
Well, it is.
That's how, because my penis is so odd looking.
You tell the story in the...
album. I tell the story. I don't do it on the half hour. I do it on the album.
You recorded the album in Denver at Comedy Works.
Dude, my favorite.
It's the best club in the country.
It's the best, dude. I recorded it there. Wendy was so cool. They were
Why
all
wouldn't
awesome
you?
About it.
Yeah. So many Rogan's done one there. I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
Dude,
Funches did his.
I think Funches did his. Yeah,
he did.
And then I think Jonigan maybe did his. TJ Miller did his there. He is a Denver guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about that room that made you go, I want to do it there?
Every time I go back to Denver, it reminds me why I love it. First of all, it's in the coolest part of downtown.
It really is.
Yeah. Larimer Square is so cool. The people are like comedy fans. Mm-hmm. There's only maybe like one person in the whole show. that's an asshole. That's like a drunk dickhead. Everybody else pays attention. They listen. They don't yell or talk. Yeah,
the,
dude,
the
they
room
just
is
know better.
Beautifully set up.
It's incredible.
For
it's
you to
perfectly
it's,
set it's up. Underground, yeah. Like we love.
Which I love the
underground
thing.
Dude. Yeah.
You're
yes.
going underground. You're seeing something secret. You're
it's
seeing
sexy.
Something yeah. naughty.
We're like, not supposed
yes.
to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the whole above ground, or like when you do comedy in the place that's like on the third floor of a thing, and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like it just it feels so off. Yeah. Like underground is the idea of comedy and.
And the audience is up on you, but still,
oh, dude,
it's deep enough, the room.
Yeah, and they put, the room is about 2-something, maybe 250, yeah. I think mm-hmm. it is. But, dude, it's low ceiling, and it's a little amphitheater seating a little bit, so yeah. it like goes up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they've got a few seats on stage, which yeah. when you sell out, they have to put people up there, which is even more fun because right. they...
You could like high-five people
oh, they love
without,
it.
Without
they
bending
love
over.
It.
My favorite part about this club, we're talking about the Comedy Works in downtown Denver, is yep. that all the seats are facing forward.
Yep.
And I would think that this would be obvious, but you go to so many comedy clubs where
sideways.
People are eating and then they look sideways to look
so
at you,
weird.
Which is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So then you're more likely to tune out, talk with your friends, look at your phone, whatever.
So true.
But when you're seated and it's right in front of you, you're like, oh no, I'm seeing a performance.
You have to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also true. I know they do serve food there, I think, but I don't think I've ever seen someone eat food there. Every really? Time I go, yeah, I've yeah. never seen someone eat food.
I
because
think I'm the only person that orders food there.
No, I mean the audience.
Right.
Also, yes, as a comedian, you are yes. probably the only person that's ordered food at a comedy club.
Yeah, it's free food.
No, but you see the audience, and I never see people eating, which a lot of clubs you see people like, some clubs you see people eating fucking full meals, and you're like, oh my God, they're never going to listen to me. They're eating
yeah.
steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why eating would... a steak dinner. Like, oh, did you hear what happened to Betsy? In the middle of your show.
Yeah. Right.
That drives me nuts. But Denver was perfect for it. They were so... inviting and cool and stoked to have me and really awesome about it. They were just so cool about it, man.
Did you people that had just been fans of yours that came up to you that were like, that came to the show specifically to, because they advertised it as your album recording, right?
Yeah, dude. And actually, I mean, I had a lot of people that came again from, because I go about every 10, right. 9 or 10 months, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But dude, I had tons of people that came back that were like,
who
right.
saw you last time, dude? You want to smoke?
Everybody wants to smoke.
Sure.
I do like
it's legal here.
Well, if I do
who
one pot joke, they're like, eh, we got to get high with him.
Right.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes, man.
And they do, like, they are really lovable, like, fans that like want to hang out with you yep. afterwards,
and like, even their stoners like are coherent, like
oh,
are
yeah.
cool comedy, like they're not mm-hmm. so just baked that they're
well,
just
because they're not right. new, they're not new to it.
No, yeah, they've been yeah. there.
They're,
yeah, they've been there.
They're
like, yeah, man, it's legal, but we were doing it before, dude.
Yeah,
that's guess, what they.
Yeah.
We were doing it before. Actually, dude, I went to a dispensary while I was there.
There's one about 2 blocks away from the club.
Right around the corner. Yeah,
yeah,
it is great.
I went to one that was so unbelievably nice. I mean, beautiful.
Were the women?
Everything about it was like
gorgeous.
Clean
yeah.
and sexy, and yeah. the chicks were hot, and yeah. the dudes yeah. were chill, and the atmosphere was nice. They had like lounge rooms with like huge HD TVs, and like they're like, if you just want to kick it for a little while, you can. If you want to have something to drink, and it was like exactly what it should be. It's
right.
like a bar.
Yeah.
It's a bar.
Do you feel that pot should be legal everywhere?
Oh, come on. I can't believe it's not.
Yeah.
I'm in like full, listen, we could get into all the semantics
yep.
about it, but the truth really is to me, I do think it shouldn't be legal for people under a certain age. I do know science has proved, you know, it disables the youthful developmental brain.
It does.
Sure. It should be legal for a person that is 18 or older, that
yeah.
if we've found that that's kind of that is the average age where the brain is almost fully developed and it's not going to have hindrance on the growth, then yeah, dude, just like a beer. If you're drinking beer when you're young or booze when you're young, it's going to damage your brain.
Sure. Yeah. My cousin, when he was 15, told me he got high for the first time, and he goes, we got to smoke. That's what I have in that joke where he's like, how have we not smoked together yet? I'm like, 5 years ago, you were 10, motherfucker. What are
yeah.
you talking about?
That's why.
And then I'm also, and he goes, you sure? He goes, but I, sorry, it was me. He goes, man, it was crazy. I was high sitting in the back of class, and I could hear everybody's conversation at the same time. I go, all right, A, that's hilarious. B, don't be doing that, man.
Don't do that.
You don't want to be that stone kid in the back of the class. She just raises their hand out of turn and goes,
yes.
and she's like, you know, his name. And he goes, 8. And she goes, I asked what the capital of Florida was. Oh, sorry.
Is it 9?
7. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but the truth is, I just think, like, if as long as it's done in a responsible fashion, it's fine. What makes me so angry is, like, I read a thing, Fox News put out this big blast because they had like a fatal car accident
yeah.
from in Oregon, I think it was, mm-hmm. and they were like marijuana related fatal car accident. Here's the fucked up thing: this is like once that they put a big thing about it. Right now, tonight, there'll be about 15 fatal car accidents from drinking and driving.
Right.
Like, on average. It'll probably be, like,
wow,
anywhere from 5 to 15.
Is that true?
Dude, it's constant. Dude. It's constant. It's
every
constant.
Night. Yeah.
In fact, the holidays is when it's the worst.
Yeah.
But
everyone's getting fucked up and they're home with family.
Yeah, so, here we go, saying one accident was bad. And I'd love to find out if they were just on pot, if they were also drinking.
Right.
That's the kind of shit that makes me so mad when they're like, pot was in his system when he murdered his wife. It's like, so was Xanax, Ambien, Obliterol, like,
yeah,
whatever.
Dr.
Nine
Phil
pills.
Was playing on the TV.
Right.
I mean, yes. Grant, we should probably ban that, but.
Yes, true.
If you're watching this, and I hope you're not killing your wife.
Are you killing your wife? Then call our show before you do it.
I would hope that would be the one time Dr. Phil, like, wouldn't get, like, all preachy if he gets super baked, and he's not, like, if he's sitting there. Then he's just like chilling out and not, you know, if he's seen his wife reach for the fucking like bag of Doritos, being like, are you sure you want to eat that last chip? And she's like, can we just fucking watch Family Feud and not like fucking do this? And he's like, okay. You know,
okay.
Hey, chill, bitch.
Chill, bitch. By the way, Family Feud, the greatest show. I watch
Steve
it.
Harvey taking over.
I watch it all the time, dude. I think it's the best. It's the greatest. It's
never
the greatest
bad.
Race war you've ever seen. It is the greatest. We got the Johnson family going up against the Whiteman family. It's always.
And he also he's beautiful at giving a little bit of like acknowledgement with his face to being like, that shit.
That was a stupid ass answer.
But also like the black men versus the white men or whatever. Like he'll even look at the camera and be like, yeah, those are the families.
Yeah.
Like, we got this.
Yeah.
It's always amazing to me, that show. It's never bad.
It's never bad.
It's never awful. I love that the family has to support the one family member that gives the dumb answer.
Yes.
Where they're just like,
good answer.
Good answer.
The
good.
Greatest one I've ever seen was they said to a family. They were going, okay, the other family got it wrong, and they were going to steal, you know? And it was, name a country that is an ideal place to vacation to. And they go down the line, they get to the last, and the last one was like, we're going to go with Africa, Steve. Name a country. That is an ideal place to vacation to.
He just paused.
And he looks at the camera and goes... He's like laughing, but also like I think he's almost
the
having
mustache,
a stroke.
He's like, barely moving.
And he's like,
this is so great.
He goes,
show
good
me.
God in heaven, show me Africa. This is a huge X-Gat. Yeah. Like wrong on so many levels.
Right.
And the whole family's like, good answer, Barbara. Africa is definitely not a good vacation spot.
No.
And it's also a continent.
Yeah.
Like you got the first part of it wrong.
Also, great vacation if you've been everywhere else.
Yeah, maybe.
But like
even then, maybe.
If you're one of those rich families that like you've been like as a kid at age 8, you went to, you know,
Tahiti,
the south of France and Tahiti.
Yeah.
It's like you go to Africa and you stay at the Four Seasons and you don't even go to the fucking
we don't go to safaris.
Yeah,
we're here at the hotel. I have a bunch of
the
like
Four Seasons.
When you have
Nigeria?
That's what rich white friends of mine have done. Like once they've traveled the world, Africa, then they go to Africa and then they either like adopt land or they like get involved with a charity because they've done it all. Like
right.
It's over. They're like, yeah, we go to Zimbabwe every year and we just like adopt a couple kids. Like we just, you know, fund kids and then we have some land over there and
build a school.
Yeah, that's what you do when you've done all of it.
Yeah.
I've been to Europe, and that's it. I've never been to Asia, I would love to go. But like of all the continents, Africa would be the last. I'm sorry. It'd be the dead last place I would go.
Yeah. My other favorite.
So many people are going to be talking shit about me saying that.
No way. He hates Africa.
Yeah. He must hate black people. No. That's what he's saying. That's what our society will spin that into.
Sure.
But no, I just don't want like malaria in the desert and like I don't want to have to get a million shots to go to a country.
Listen, you don't want the majestic experience of sleeping in a net?
Yeah. Almost dying from bugs flying in the air.
Wait.
Do I want to maybe die from bugs in the air?
Bugs the size of me?
That's insane. Yeah, Brad bugs. That over there is a Brad bug. It's just your head on a...
Wait, that bug is a huge dick.
Right. Do you have any Brad nets?
All right, too many great hashtags on this podcast. Hashtag Brad bugs. Hashtag dwarf dick.
Dwarf dick.
Hashtag...
We have to buy that domain.
Hashtag dead dwarf in a pool.
Dead dwarf in a pool.
Hashtag, I don't know, face down Perry. I don't know.
Well, no, butt nose Perry. Hashtag butt nose Perry.
Dreaming about the butt nose? I don't know.
I think butt nose Perry is the way to do it.
Butt nose Perry. It's a good one. My...
Also on the Family Feud, they do that thing where they try to lead the family into saying something extremely sexual.
Oh, always.
And they're like teasing them not to do it. Like, what's something fun to put in your mouth when you've been drinking?
Yeah, always, always. And there's for sure one woman goes, penis, Steve. And he acts like it wasn't going to happen.
Right, right.
He goes, good, good. These people need Jesus. Yeah. By the way, he's like, show me penis. It's up there. Yeah. It's always up there. It's like number five.
What if it was just like even the, like, because they pull the audience. So it's like, even if somebody was like, cheeseburger, and everyone claps and just goes, boom, and it's dildo or something like that.
You know? We asked 100 psychopaths in a psych ward somewhere in Florida.
That would how they would up the game.
Yeah, when they haven't taken their meds, what would they have to put?
That's so good.
Dude, wow.
Knife! Show me knife!
Show me person's leg!
Person's leg! Show me person's leg! Bing! Extra points for whose person's leg?
Name something that you put in the oven when you know family is coming over.
Baby!
Yeah. Show me baby! Bing!
I want to. We have a few more minutes.
The love I have for you.
Well, I mean, sure.
For
both of you guys, it's unbelievable.
You being a neighbor is pretty fucking great.
Yeah, we live next door to each other, and we live at the top of Mulholland. That's where we live, Hollywood Hills.
And what is great about that, what is great about that proximity is how in the last month I've seen Andrew walking around. Spontaneously.
Totally.
Where
on
I've
accident.
Been on route to start my day, and he's been on route to start his day, and his has been on foot, and mine has been by car. Okay? And I've
this
seen
is not
him.
Because Andrew's poor.
Yeah. This just is how I operate. I walk every morning.
You do what you walk. It was beautiful.
I love
and I'd be leaving for Hyundai, and these time, and he's walking to get his coffee to start the day. And it was like a beautiful like scene. But the first time I did it, I rolled down my window and pretended I was paparazzi and started screaming at him like, oh, get Andrew Santino. And here's what's great about just being friends at this point, and like the jumping on board with what, like immediately you see my phone and just go, oh, fucking put your camera away, dude, out of my neighborhood. And Amelia's just a bit. He comes into the window, angrily starts to slap it out of my hand. We start laughing and start talking, and then I post it, and it gets more likes and feedback than anything I've ever posted ever.
Well, it's because it's I think, and then my favorite thing about it, now we do it whenever we see each other. Yeah. It's fun. It gets even more fun.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to not laugh.
Yeah.
Because when I first see your phone, I'm like, oh,
here we go.
I hold it in.
Here we go. Also,
you can almost see me break a bunch. Like, I almost go, what?
Because it is spontaneous. That's the thing, too, is that, like, it's so funny.
Oh, it's not planned.
Once it happened once and it happened again, and I say walk in.
Oh, it's not planned. We just did it.
Yeah.
It's just become a reality now. Yeah.
My favorite thing, Adam, is that when it happens, you yell, Dad.
Dad. Oh, yeah, at the end, he goes, like, Dad. Fuck you, Dad.
Maybe he's in the back seat. Who knows?
That's so good.
Like that always made me laugh.
My favorite comment, I think I saw one that was like, because you're like famous people in Hollywood, like you're making a joke.
Right.
Some guy goes, who the fuck is this guy? He's not famous. It's okay, dude.
All right.
Jesus.
Yeah, just go like click on his name that
fuck
I tagged
this guy.
Him in. See that he's, you know.
I just think it's funny that people like to use the word famous for fun like we do, but then people take it really serious. Like, he's not famous, man.
Yeah.
Brad is not famous, dude.
Yeah. Well, like,
dude,
because for some people, that's the ultimate goal.
Yes.
Does he have a shoe? Is he on a cereal?
Have I
eaten his name with milk? What?
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 Maybe.
Maybe, dude.
Well, maybe you've heard of Brad Bugs?
Yeah.
That's him.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate Brad Bugs.
Very crunchy.
That's the cereal.
Very crunchy.
Chocolate Brad Bugs.
Oh, my God. They're mini, like, bugs with Brad's face carved on them. They're like little bug flakes, you know?
That reminds me of that scene in Big when he's like, but the bug turns into a building. And he's like not impressed by it. He's like, what if it turned into like a car or something? I just see someone be like, the bug turns into a dwarf. And at night, you fly around all day, and then at night, you become Brad, this comedian. Brad, I never see you during the day.
Yeah,
I'm just flying around town.
That's a great movie.
Buzzing around town.
I'm a Brad bug.
So he's a bug.
He's a bug during the day, but he's Brad by night.
Oh, yeah, because as a bug, I dated a, what's a scientist that, like, categorizes bugs?
Christina Ricci.
Right. I dated Christina Ricci, and like her dad was this like pissed off bugologist. I'll just say bugologist. Someone's screaming at the radio. It's called a thing, you ass.
Don't you know?
Yeah, I don't.
Don't. It's the mystery that we love.
And then he like curses me. He's like, oh, you think you can fuck my daughter? And he's some sort of like in his bugology place was built on an Indian burial ground. So he could curse me into becoming a bug. So now I'm cursed. I'm bugged during the day. And then I'm a comedian at night. So in order to break the curse, someone has to laugh at me as a bug.
Oh, what a movie.
That's brilliant, actually.
This is a great movie.
It's sponsored by www.dwarfdick.com.
FanDuel and Dwarf Dick. You want to bet on sports and look at Dwarf Dick? By the way, this is great because you have your Cinderella moment where you fall in love with like a beautiful girl.
Yes.
And at midnight, you turn back into a bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why when you go on the road, you only do early shows.
It's like
you gotta be gone.
6 to 10.
Yeah,
six to ten.
I gotta be gone.
The late show starts at ten.
He's a great comedian, but he has such odd requests for time. You turn into a bug and you fly away.
It'd be really
great if you like got your check from the comedy club and you were like walking back to your hotel as fast as you could.
Right.
And then poof, you turn into a fly, and so you had to like fly with this massive check.
it's like a fly windsurfing.
Oh my god.
It's folded.
We've done drugs before.
If you haven't thought about if we have all been on some sort of mind-altering substance, I think we just proved it.
I think the end of the podcast shows.
Wait, but I also want to ask, you just shot a show. Do we want to talk about that?
We can, of course, yeah.
For Showtime.
Shot a pilot, yeah.
Yes.
I hope people get to see it. Who knows?
Yep.
Maybe. Yep. You never know.
Yeah, but
it's about stand-up comedy in the 70s. It's based on a book called I'm Dying Up Here.
Great book.
This guy wrote it, William Knopf Center, and then this guy, Dave Fabat, who's awesome, did the script.
Right.
They got the rights.
Also EP'd by?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah
Jim Carrey was the EP of it. And it was awesome. And Jonathan Levine directed it, who is a gangster. I don't know if you... Yep. He did Warm Bodies.
And just directed
50-50, and he just did the night before. Yeah, he just did Night Before with Rogan.
Oh,
and
that's great.
And he wrote those, by the way. That's what's even crazier about Levine as a director. He wrote Warm Bodies and 50-50 and Night Before.
Wow.
I mean, with those guys. They wrote it together, Dude, Jonathan's amazing. He's super talented. He's really good. And he did us a good job on this. I hope Showtime wants it.
Well,
please, David Nevins. Please, David Nevins.
The pictures you show me with your 70s hair.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's so fun.
Unreal.
I got a huge burly beard.
Yeah. Nice. And also, it's like that you're going to stylistically, like they can make shit time period wise look that on TV now.
Well, let me tell
you. So that's going to be fucking so cool.
Yeah. Dude, Showtime didn't skimp on the budget. We used real retro clothes. Like we didn't use any new, it wasn't like.
Clothes were made to look like 70s.
Yeah, no, dude. We used
real. You didn't take like an American Apparel shirt and make bell bottoms out of
this. This was a real deal.
So you used like the same suit that Charlie Manson was killing people in.
I have it.
Oh, nice.
No, but for real, you see like the tags on these. These are like Universal Studio property.
Oh my God.
With the back that have been in like, they have like clothes in vaults for like 30, 40, 50 years.
Any cool stories from some of that stuff? You know how like at SNL you'll hear like, this was Dan Aykroyd's like wig cap or
well,
like
I wanted to ask and get involved with the whole wardrobe department, but there's like seven people down there working super hard. And so I was like, I'll just shut up. And like, but I will say I was trying on one of the sweaters and this is how old it was. Like it was like 71 or 72. That the material had been so like kept in a place for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I put my arm in the sleeve. I ripped the cuff of the sleeve clean off.
Crazy.
And I was like, oh shit. And she's like, nope, don't worry. It's only like $1,000 for that. And I was like, oh my God. She was joking. They stitched it up. But she's like, you just have to be super delicate.
Just so worn down.
Yeah, because it's legit. It's real stuff.
Meeting Jim Carrey.
Dude, amazing. He's the coolest, man. Cool. He's like, what do you think Jim Carrey? We went to dinner with Jim and the president of Showtime and the whole cast. And the cast is incredible. There's a couple other comedians on it. Al Madrigal and Eric Griffin.
Yep.
Clark Duke is on there. Michael Angarano, who's almost famous. Ari Grainer plays one of the lead females in it, is incredible.
God, this better be a show.
Well, then I tell you, these are just us, but the real deal is
Melissa Leo,
who won an Oscar, Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina.
Robert Forrester, Kathy Moriarty from Raging Bull.
I just feel like...
There's some people in this.
Yeah, take you guys out of it, and if you go...
Please
hey, I have
take
a show
us
about,
out of it.
No, I'm saying, if you say to anybody, hey, there's a show about comedians in the 70s on Showtime with Melissa Leo and Alfred Molina. Done
by Jim Carrey. Sold.
Done by Jim Carrey. 1,010% of every person's mind goes, oh yeah, I want to watch that.
Yeah, I hope they want to put it out, man. We did some really fun stuff. It was incredible. And we, the whole, if you want to read the book, I highly suggest you buy this book. If you want to learn about comedy, if you really love stand-up comedy, it's kind of about the 1970s was the boom of comedy, but it was also on this precipice of like changing forever, because guys that didn't get fame, guys that didn't get Carson and not Letterman and Leno, and guys that got talk shows, the rest of these guys were literally poor. I'm not talking like just getting by. They were poor, poor. They had to sleep in like a, you know, four to a room, because these guys got paid no money. So in the 70s, as they talk about in the book, as we will on the show, hopefully, there was a big comedy strike because they didn't get paid.
For a long time. So when we sometimes will be like, oh, yeah. I mean, we do our spots for the workout, not for the cash. But thankfully, we're in a position where we don't have to do that. But also, but so they were, I mean, they weren't getting anything.
No money. Literally $0.
All the clubs.
$0.
Yeah. So you go to the Improv, you go to the Comedy Store, you go to the Laugh Factory.
It was just about then.
And they just didn't pay you.
Didn't pay. The Improv and the Comedy Store were the two. And then the Improv started to pay. Mm-hmm. During this whole fight, like the Bud Friedman, Mincy Shore thing, and you know,
which was amazing, because they talk about it, how you'd go on stage and you would look at the waitresses like, okay, they're getting paid, the door guy's getting paid, the bouncer's getting paid,
everybody but you,
the valet's getting paid, the club's making money,
tons of money,
because they don't have to pay comedians,
tons and tons of money, they were rolling in dough, mm-hmm. so much so it was heavily documented. I mean, Mitzi and the Shore family did very well. I mean, they created a great place for comedians, but. Dude, they were making money, like great money. And here was young, talented guys busting their ass. And then they're also sleeping in Culver City in a one bedroom with four dudes on mattresses in the floor. And these are like young guys just Legends. Really trying. Just really trying. I mean, the Richard Lewis's and Letterman and Leno and all these guys. I mean, they were in that ilk until those guys did Carson and took off.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that's incredible is we have a clip on the show in the pilot of one of our guys gets to do Carson. And we were talking about the research behind it, and I didn't realize that 27 million people watched him every night.
Fucking hell. What?
27 million human beings would watch Johnny Carson.
That's
27 million today.
So that's why it was such a game changer for comedians. Yeah.
Not just comedians, for like entertainers in general.
Right.
If you were somebody in the entertainment world, Carson was your spot to really prove it. It was like, come be funny, endearing, lovable, smart, quick. If you could go through that with Carson, you were a champ on the other side.
And you were well received. That's why networks would go, oh, cool, give him a show, because 27 million people are now familiar with him.
Yeah.
Familiar with him. And the people in the audience, and Carson endorsed him. Who do you think is the equivalent? Stern, maybe now?
No way.
Not even
Stern. I mean, Stern's listenership is massive.
Yeah,
but it's
not
also
27 million.
No, it's all. I mean, maybe. I mean,
also get it. There's no DVR. There's no looking it up later. So
no, it's
27 million
there.
Right there. Yeah.
That's the thing that we think we're forgetting. Stern has, and I'm a big Stern fan. Yeah. I listen to him and
replays a lot.
Yeah, the replay show
or online afterwards.
Yeah, I listen to all of it. But it's also like
people made a point to sit down to watch this. So when they're seeing your first performance,
they're seeing
also
seeing
with you. Like, you're doing it for the first time, and they're seeing you doing it for the first time with you.
Insane.
How often do you do that? How often does that happen?
I don't
now?
Think it exists anymore at all. But I mean, that's, I think the only thing close, we looked it up, and the only thing that even kisses it near would be
the Bonnie Hunt show.
Yes,
when it was on ABC for like two seasons.
Yeah, Whistlin' Dixie. I think the closest thing is honestly Big Bang Theory. I think Big Bang Theory sees about, I'll fuck this up, but it's like anywhere from 15 to 17 million. I do know that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. They might be up to 20. They might be. They are unequivocally the most popular show on television. So, just to be fair, they're the ones, and they have been the ones. But Carson was on at a time when there was like four channels. So it was also like, you're either going to watch nothing or Johnny fucking Carson.
Yeah. Right.
So he had the market cornered. But also, as a comedian, you did Carson and you got a thumbs up from him, you were a gangster. If you got the couch from him, see you later.
Yeah.
You became a millionaire. I mean, they also talked about the money back then. The money was insane. Like, guys like Tom Dreesen, who we all know, who's a legend that we still see.
He's open for Sinatra.
Yeah.
Tom was making such exorbitant amounts of money in the mid-70s, it was almost comical. Like, could make an easy $500,000 with, like, 2 months of work. In the 70s, dude.
Yeah,
that's like making $10 million here.
Being
now.
Not a huge star.
No, he was just a really well loved comedian.
Yeah,
He wasn't a movie star. He wasn't a TV star. He was a Louis C.K. type, where he was almost exclusively a comedian. People know Louis' show, but I think like my parents don't watch his show, but they know Louis C.K. as a comedian.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he had that kind of level of fame.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Rock type of,
yeah,
like people that liked comedy knew who Tom Dreesen was.
Yeah. Holy shit. I've told my dad that I've performed with like Bill Burr and like I did some Jay Moore stuff and like
ooh,
Jim Jefferies and then I said Tom Dreesen.
Massive.
He flipped out. He's like, Tom Dreesen.
What? He looked at you.
He looked.
I have a picture. I wish I.
What did he do to you?
He wanted to see my dwarf dick. .com.
Tell him to get the app.
Literally, I had a picture from my uncle because Tom was back in Chicago. He's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
And my uncle recognized him and introduced him. He was at a local bar eating, and he introduced him to my grandmother because my uncle was like, oh, my nephew's a comedian, you know, and he lost his shit. And he was like, will you take a picture with my mom? And my grandma was like, with Tom Dreesen. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so crazy,
wow,
man. Yeah, dude, he spanned generations of comedy. He was I think the younger guys need to read this book and know more about that era to understand who to, like, really appreciate in the world of comedy.
And there was only, like, now when you sit down, you're like, okay, do I do YouTube videos? Do I do Vine? Do I do Instagram? Do I do stand-up? Just straight stand-up? Like, back then it was like, you're a stand-up comic.
You're a stand-up comedian.
That is all you do.
End of point. I mean, now that there's a lot of outlets, it's great. That's cool. That's wonderful. Sure. But it is something beautiful that, like, if you were funny and you worked hard, you were going to get recognition. Now... Yeah. It's a lot harder because the pool is so thick. And the 70s kind of led that. They talk about it like it became so saturated. There were a billion comedy clubs. Right. There were a billion comedians. And it was like, the bubble popped.
Yeah. Did Jim Carrey talk about his Carson experience?
Jim at dinner talked about a million comedy store stories, which I cannot tell you on the air because it's private.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I will tell you guys.
People know, that he slept in his car for a while, and then Mitzi Shore let him stay at her like comedy house.
Correct. Yeah, she stayed at the comedy house, which is a house still above the comedy store, but I don't know if they own that anymore. But Jim has amazing, amazing stories about the comedy store.
Anything you can't. Anything.
I mean, the only thing
advice
I could,
or anything that was just like a
the
cool,
thing that
I don't
Jim,
know.
The thing that Jim made pretty apparent is something that was embedded in us that we know really well as comedians is he kept going back to the fact that he's like, people don't know how hard comedians work night after night after night after night after night. I think there's this idea that like, oh, you just go do your comedy once in a while. Mm-hmm. But he was like, we bleed for this place and we would be there all night long. Comedy, you know, hanging out, doing the talk, you're chatting up people, you're going from room to room, you bounce to this side of town, you do a show there, you do a show here, you come back to the store and you hang out again, you try to go fuck a girl, you go do some drugs here, you come back to the store. You know, he was like, that is just your life. It's a constant grind of like, you're in this world, you're trying to make your way up, you're trying to be the funniest to your friends and to the audience, but also fuck the audience and also like fuck what people think. But there's this like huge duality going on the whole time. This big internal struggle. And he just talked about how dedicated comics that made it that he saw were. That like there's no doubt that Letterman made it because of hard work. It wasn't, no one was like, yeah, he's okay, I'll take him.
Yeah,
you know, man. Like there was, he said everyone that popped through, there was, it was obvious why they popped. He's like, there's also reasons why guys didn't pop. They just didn't have the go. But like we know, you have to have some kind of go if you're going to, you know, float to the top.
Did he share anything about, because people said when they first saw him, it was just like, everyone was like, oh, like kind of game
star,
over because
he
was so.
I mean, he mentioned guys and, you know, like guys that were just room shakers, guys that like all the comics would rush in to see, like Robin. Everybody wanted to come see Robin.
Yeah.
And people love to see Jimmy Walker a lot because he was so like in his own character. People love to see Letterman and people love to see Leno. I mean, you know, the whole battle between them two was Letterman and Leno were both crushers. They would destroy.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the break with them was Leno kind of stopped being a comedian as in Dave's eyes. Like Dave, I think, was like, I'm going to always be a comedian.
Yeah.
And Leno kind of played the corporate game a little bit better and different. But
that is what's insane to me about this business, by the way, is that because when Jim Carrey came to the store, I think maybe a couple weeks before you had maybe gotten booked this part of the show and he came to the store to, watch, be around.
He wanted to watch Roast Battle.
Yeah, and he hadn't been there in 20 some years.
I think he said 26 or 27 years.
And it was unbelievable. And I posted this online because he was like it for me. Like in Living Color.
Oh, he's it.
In Living Color was more than SNL and anything for me. And then also Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, which is very influential. And I even had this realization, and I've said on the podcast about how, like, you know, when I went from fat kid to funny kid, I was quoting Ace Ventura on the bus and at school to people and making them laugh, and then they started to want to be around me and be friends with me. So like indirectly he was responsible for me, like, A, finding comedy, and B, like, you know, just getting whatever it was. So when he walked by me in the back bar and I saw him and we locked eyes and he goes, hey man, and I go, hey, and that's all I could like say. And because I And then afterwards,
and
I was like,
I've never seen him starstruck.
And I was
before.
Like, why was I so taken aback and out of my element? And then and then I left after that. Because then I heard he was in the parking lot talking stories after the roast battle. And I was like, I couldn't even be around it because I was so like outer body. Like, I just felt very off.
Yeah.
And then I got home and I sat on it. I was like, why was I so shaken and thrown that? And then, like I just told you. Anyway, so for you to be on a show now where that guy is involved to me is so crazy. Because I'm sure for you growing up.
He was my hero, dude. I mean, like, we could go on for hours. Yes. But Costello and I used to watch Dumb and Dumber in my basement, and this is my best friend. I say that like everybody knows him. But we would sit in my basement.
And Costello from Abbott and Costello?
Yeah, and Abbott would never show up, by the way. No, but Sean and I would watch over and over. We would get as much snacks, food from upstairs as we could, mm-hmm. and we would rewind and watch our favorite parts 1,000 times. I could repeat Dumb and Dumber to you verbatim.
Oh, yeah.
I could
it's one of the most quotable movies, where also every line
was hysterical.
Yeah, it's classic.
And by the way, as you got older, you realized some of those jokes went over your head, and you were like, oh, right. Like, now
oh,
I know what that
shit,
is.
That's hilarious.
Right, also, it became apparent when you got
older. There's a lot of stuff that's not on the page that is so brilliant, and that's why that movie is brilliant. Like, their faces when they're trying to keep in that they had put the pill in his burger.
Yes.
And they're just like, why don't you eat your burger and we'll tell you? And like the faces they're making.
So funny.
Or just like, or Jim Carrey's face when he's peeing in the bathroom and he reads for a good time, meet here at this time. Yeah. And he sees Glock. And his face when the guy busts in the door and screams, to me, is maybe one of the greatest reactions of all time.
Those are your skis? Both of them? Was the best line I've ever heard. It made me laugh so fucking hard. Both of them?
Well, that just goes to show you that because it's crazy to me that I feel like I got to know both of you guys when we were all starting. I think mm-hmm. you guys maybe each have like a year or two on me, maybe. But for you to now have done that show, and you have an album coming out on Comedy Central on Saturday, and a half hour,
it's pretty neat,
and it's incredible,
yeah.
It's incredible.
It is amazing. I feel for.
And
I
you've
feel
busted
fortunate.
Your ass, and you've built a brand, and you've crushed on this podcast, and hopefully someday you get to. I just only hope that you can go to sleep and also envision about eating out a pop star from the back.
I hope so too. And we can never end this podcast. We cannot stop talking.
Yeah, it won't.
Because I know.
Yep.
When we stop talking, that's when you guys kill me.
Oh, Brad.
Brad.
See you later, Brad.
Oh, shit!
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.